Get ready to whiten those knuckles and hold fast as we talk the most dangerous, daring, and epic sea stories ever told.
Whether facing ruthless men who prey on other mariners or storms that turn calm seas into graveyards, those who go down to the sea and cast off lines enter the most challenging and dangerous environment on Earth.
Only here will you hear their stories and the lessons gained through their experience. I'm your host, Phil.
And I'm Bill.
And we welcome you aboard the Had to Go Out podcast. Before we dive into this episode, we need to provide a disclaimer. The views expressed on this podcast are those of the individuals involved and are not to be construed as official or reflecting the views of any government agency or military service. This podcast is an independent effort with no government association.
When the most is expected, the brave men and women of the U.S. Coast Guard are always ready. The National Coast Guard Museum will engage, educate, and inspire visitors by honoring the courage and skill of our nation's unsung armed service. The museum will explore the Coast Guard's rich history and current impact through interactive exhibits, STEM-based learning experiences, and leadership development programming. Find out how you can join the effort. Become a plank owner today. Visit CoastGuardMuseum.org/out. That's CoastGuardMuseum.org/OUT.
Another one to check out is the Always Ready Collective, which delivers art by and for some daring fighters of the sea. Head over to Etsy, Facebook, or Instagram and search Always Ready Collective to check out their Coast Guard and Maritime-focused tattoo flash, pinups, and propaganda. You won't be disappointed. Anyone who gets one of their designs inked on their body will get featured on their feed and can be sent a care package on the house. Find a design you like, some blank canvas, and get it done. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Had to Go Out podcast. So excited to have you guys join us once again. Thank you to everyone that's been subscribing on any podcast platform and has been following us on social media. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, everybody, welcome back. If you're a returning listener, if it's your first time, we're really glad you found us. I think we've got a great show for you today. It's going to be really interesting, hearing maybe a little different perspective, a little different than some of our guests in the past, but I think we're going to actually all be able to learn quite a bit out of this this episode.
Yeah, and for everybody that's been listening to all those past episodes, you'll notice there's kind of a shout out, not an ad, but like a shout out to the Coast Guard Foundation and encourage people to support and provide donations to it. And today we are lucky enough to have the president of the Coast Guard Foundation, Mrs. Susan Ludwig, on the line. Go ahead and give her bio like we do for every other guest. This is going to be fun. Born in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, raised in Boston, Massachusetts. Interestingly, and kind of a deviation from our normal model, she was a civilian in sales for over 20 years. So 2 decades with either IBM and Apple, kind of, completely different than our standard Coast Guard veteran. But since 2013, she has been employed by the Coast Guard Foundation, supporting the Coast Guard family as a whole through all manner of trials and just terrible, you know, life events and even through, helping people reach education goals and tons of other stuff. For those that don't know, the Coast Guard Foundation is a 501c3 national nonprofit. And with that, I'm going to have Bill ask Susan the question.
All right, Susan, good afternoon. And the question, not as always, a little different, is what's your most daring, epic, or meaningful story, sea story or stories? The floor is all yours.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having us. We are really honored on a daily basis to support the brave men and women and children of the United States Coast Guard over here at the Coast Guard Foundation, and I suppose if asked about the most meaningful area of support that I've seen in the past 6 years would have to be the unprecedented hurricane season of 2017. We were asked to be part of the Coast Guard Hurricane Response Team, which again was a humbling experience for us civilians. And as Hurricane Harvey made landfall, this presented a great opportunity for us to quickly understand which Coast Guard families had significant or catastrophic damage done to their homes in the Houston area, while they were, of course, as you know, saving thousands of others from devastation and flooding. So we did a few things while we were on deck there with the response team. We were able to let our local, state, and regional Coast Guard units know that the foundation was there to help them recover their losses. We communicated the Coast Guard needs on a nightly basis to our larger national donor database, and they stood up loud and proud, I have to tell you. We also partnered with the Coast Guard Chief Petty Officers Association to give us a direct pathway to get that support to those that are needed as quickly as possible.
That's awesome, Susan. Even hearing the way that that kind of you guys stood up right there was pretty impressive. I never realized, I guess, I was thinking that we'd just pull from the coffers, you know, whatever legacy donations existed. But pretty cool to see that, you know, in time of crisis, you just stood up, started the campaign, it sounds like.
We certainly did, and it was really a day-by-day campaign, as it were. It was really important for us to be on site watching those, as you well know, the response teams do their triage and mobilize their resources, because I could go back to the hotel every night to basically send a note to all 26,000 of our supporters saying, here's what we know now, and here's the help that is needed.
Well, that's awesome. So this just got real. So you weren't, this wasn't remotely from the office. You were there on site coordinating this.
We sure were. We were down working with then the Harvey response team, which was out of New Orleans.
Very cool. Awesome. Wow. So what did kind of the framework look like? Like, where did you guys plug in? Where did you go when you left the hotel? I'm just curious.
We were right there at the sector command,
okay,
and we worked side by side with the response team. And I, as you can well imagine, as a civilian, I just kept quite quiet and in the corner and just receiving the news of how many folks had that significant or catastrophic damage done to their home and where are they and how we were to reach them. And that's really where the Chief Petty Officers Association partnered with us in such a meaningful way, because as you can imagine, I've got funds coming in to help, but I certainly don't have the boots on the street to identify where those funds should go quickly. And that's where the CPOA chief stood up and were able to wire our funds through them, and they could get the funding out in a matter of days. And I think that's what was different in 2017 than our support that we also witnessed during Katrina. We sent about $1 million in both of those episodes out to our Coast Guard families in support. But in most recently, because we were attached to the response teams, we were able to do that in a more efficient manner, which was more meaningful for them.
Yeah, unreal. So it's almost like the Red Cross stood up, but
right.
But you guys are so targeted to Coast Guard members and their families. That's incredible. I had no idea.
Significant amount of support too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was. And as you all know, Houston wasn't the only area of that hurricane season. But I did want to also add that we honored in Houston. We have our events across the country, and last year, as an example, we honored a Coast Guard unit who had heard from a hospital in Houston that there were children in need of dialysis, and because of the flooding, they couldn't get to their hospital for treatment. I mean, it was literally life or death, and it was amazing to see these Coast Guard members come together with the hospital staff to locate these kids and transport them to their care centers. So we are not only able to support, but we're also able to shine a light on all that heroism that is part of those hurricane responses. We're very proud to be able to do that.
Yeah, and what a story. I mean, just alone with the kids needing dialysis. What were some of the, you know, maybe not not names or anything, but what's some of the specific assistance that you guys know that you provided while you're down there?
Well, it differed depending upon the hurricane. So
right.
With Harvey, we were able to wire funds through the CPOA out to the 267 specific families that had catastrophic or significant damage done to their homes.
Dude, and that's
and
a
we
high
were
number.
Able to
that's
give
a
them
that's
$3,000
a crazy high number
each. And that was at the very beginning as they were coming home to assess their damage. And so that went to things like drywall and replacing, you know, refrigerators and pieces like that, and car services, anything they needed during those first few days of returning home.
Yeah, that's a huge number of people. Just in that general area, 267 people in the Coast Guard. Like, yeah, you don't normally hit that number in any one thing. So yeah, that's unreal.
And as we all know from the reports, they're saving thousands of lives. And as we've heard over and over again, you know, they needed to be on, and they needed to be on in a significant amount of hours. And the fact that we could help on the other side when they returned home, or that they knew there was support from our incredible group of donors, I think it helps for their mission critical work.
Oh, I can tell you, it definitely helps.
It's a huge help.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you say that. You think it helps. I would tell you that it absolutely helps, because no matter what, your family's always in the back of your mind. And if you really know that they're struggling, it's almost impossible to focus. You just, it's tough.
It's certainly a lot easier to do the job and do the job right and well if you know somebody's got your back, and that's awesome to hear.
Oh, it's great for us to hear as well. So thank you for all that. And your question was, you know, to give us a few examples. While we were down there, of course, this was the later part of Labor Day weekend. You know, we turned and realized that Irma and Maria were pounding down, and Mother Nature was not done with that area yet. And those specifics, as you can imagine, were quite different in Puerto Rico. So working closely with the CPOA, I remember speaking to Kim Lorigan, the president at the time, and she called and said, I've got hundreds of partial families being airlifted off of Puerto Rico on their way to Florida, you know, one spouse, children, and they're only able, because of space considerations, to bring one back. And she said, we need to help these people. And I said, of course we will help these people, but I can't send them checks. Where are they going to cash them? So instead, we developed quite quickly, on the back of a scrap piece of paper, the fact that our staff here in Stonington was going to create Visa gift cards, so that when they landed on the tarmac in Florida in a strange place in the middle of the night, they would at least have support to go out to get essentials like diapers and food and clothing and things they may have forgotten.
That's an epic story right there, Susan. Filled out on the back of a napkin.
Right.
I love it. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we keep going back to this, Phil, and it is so important in our support is, you know, as you know, your mission is so different and encompasses so many pieces, and so do ours. So our mission scope of education, morale, and relief, those lanes we always want to continue to be part of, but the lanes are wide enough that we can be flexible within them to meet the needs of, you know, the Coast Guard families. And those folks actually that got airlifted out and transplanted temporarily in Florida had no idea that they would be there for 6 months. We didn't at the time either, but most of them were there for a full 6 months, and that was over Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we worked really closely with the chiefs of those areas to make sure that those families had a Thanksgiving celebration and the children had a Christmas party. And we to this day, remain close to those families. They're near and dear to us, and we have personal relationships with them.
That's great to hear.
And that's epic.
Yeah. It sounds, Susan, like because you deal with the Coast Guard, and, you know, we make the joke of how flexible we have to be because our missions are so varied. Like, for you to be able to help us requires the same kind of level of think on your feet, figure it out on the fly, flexibility. And it sounds like you guys are doing a phenomenal job doing that for us. So thank you.
Well, thank you. We try to remain relevant, and those are the conversations we're having with Coast Guard leadership. And, you know, another great example, is from the government shutdown. I mean, first of all, we had no idea that that would ever occur or that it would drag on like it did. But I'll tell you, these 26,000 active donors that we have and an incredible 83-member board of trustees who support our initiatives, however they are distributed, you know, we were getting some angry phone calls, angry at the situation, angry that our Coast Guard members were not being paid, and what are we going to do for that? So we worked closely with Coast Guard leadership to figure out, you know, how best the foundation can help And we were able to do that with morale, again, Visa gift cards that we sent out, over $500,000 worth of them, so that they could pay for everyday essentials and basics, freeing up their reserve for the larger bills. So while we weren't going to move out of our lane in order to help with salaries, nor could we were able to help them with the smaller, you know, gas to get to their workplace or food to store in the refrigerator so that their reserve funds could be used for bigger things. And I think that really showed, as we all saw, both communities and all Coast Guard support entities, including the foundation, working together to make sure the families were supported.
Yeah, Susan, I'm in awe. Like, I mean, you just said $500,000, and I'll give you two comments just on a personal level, I guess. One, I knew a ton of families down in Puerto Rico that had to get evacuated when the hurricane rolled through. So to hear that you guys support them like that is awesome, because I wasn't in that kind of direct contact to hear that. But yeah, I can't tell you, these were good people that you were helping out. So.
I actually flew down when they were finally all reunited in Puerto Rico. I couldn't help myself. I had to go down and meet them face to face and wrap my arms around them, and we had a celebration.
Awesome. Awesome. Right. I think that was deserved. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
And then, so with the government shutdown, I mean, you know, I would say from everyone that I've spoke to, right, probably the most challenging leadership crisis that people have ever been in. You know, how do we keep this going when people aren't getting paid? So to hear that you guys made that kind of impact's unbelievable, because it was needed. I mean, there were people that were, you know, they'd already spent that check that they didn't get, and then
of course there were, and as you know, I mean, we want to be respectful of the need and the individual, and we are in no position to figure out who needs what. But those chiefs, working closely with those families, were able to ask not once, not twice, but three times to those same people who, as you know, are full of pride and don't want to ask for help and don't want to come forward. And we made sure with the funding that we had that we kept pushing those chiefs to go back to make sure we're covering the people that are in need, and that these were out-and-out gifts. You know, no repayment. They were, and again, we all feel here, everybody on the staff, everybody on the board, that it's more than just a Visa gift card, right? It's always a salute to what the Coast Guard members are doing for this country and what they had to go through in January.
Well, I know we certainly appreciate it. Everybody appreciates that and was aware, maybe not of the background on how you guys were able to do it or how you were able to stay in your lane, but still give some help. But I know it was very appreciated, and there's certainly no level of help that was too small. That, you know, you talked about gas for people to get to work or whatever. That everything was needed then. That certainly was the biggest challenge we ever face. Hopefully, we never face a challenge like that one in particular again.
Yeah, and I think you saying that you went out to the chief's mess is like telling, right? Because if anybody's going to know, it's going to be the chief. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It'd never be the, you know, as you push up in ranks and stuff, I think you get a good general idea of what's going on. But the chiefs are the ones that know the individuals and hopefully, I'd say in most cases, know the backstory of people. And they know, like, what position people are in. So those prideful, you know, the guys that don't want to help take assistance. And there's, I'd say most people are like that at some point. But eventually, they just got to be told, like, hey, this is reality. We got to help each other out, and this is the time. And man, thank God for organizations like you that answered that need.
Well, thank you all for including us today and allowing us. I mean, we are humbled on a daily basis for the work that we're able to do, connecting our very generous donors to the needs of the Coast Guard members.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we're excited to have you today, and it's great to hear. I hope everybody who's out there listening to it is really, really understands how much help you guys have given us in the past and continue to give us, and what a great thing it is that it's being done. And yeah, thank you to all those donors, because it wouldn't be possible without them.
Yeah, and it's funny. It might sound like this is some kind of ad or something, right?
Right?
But it's totally not. Like, I mean, there's you know, we got lucky to be able to talk to Susan, and I'm just thinking back in personal experience, right? Like, there's definitely the one thing that'll always come back to you is your family safe? Are they taken care of? Because that's, I don't care who you are, like, whether you're the single non-rate and your parents are out there, you know, getting houses flooded and whatever, and you got to get back to them, wife, kids, whatever, that takes its toll, and it takes its toll really quick, and suddenly you can't do the job, or you're making mistakes. So it definitely means something, I think, when you can, and it is epic to be able to tell a story about how you met that need and let these right. people go back and go and do their job, you know, to save others and to help others. So, wow. Pretty impactful, Susan, like more than I thought it was going to be. That's awesome.
And we've only just touched on disaster relief. We should do this again for education and scholarships and fallen hero scholarships.
Let's do it now.
I
think people are if anybody's listening right now and you're not engaged, I'm surprised, in number right. one. But, yeah, what else does the Coast Guard Foundation do?
Well, in addition to the relief support, we provide scholarships for Coast Guard dependents. We provide grants for Coast Guard spouses who are needing to recertify every 3 years or so. We also have a special fund, unfortunately, called the Fallen Heroes Scholarship Fund, where we currently have 23 children in that pipeline from ages 0 to 18. And for those children who have lost a parent in the line of duty, we have a 4-year, 100% paid college scholarship.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's wow. I don't have a more intelligent response than wow.
Yes, we're very, very proud of that. And again, you know, we obviously keep in touch with those children through their educational process, and most importantly, when they enter college. And both the folks receiving our dependent scholarship and, of course, our fallen hero awardees.
And you said 23, right?
Unfortunately, 23. Yeah, we just added 3 more children to that number this year.
Yeah, that's wow. that's the kind of thing you're probably proud to be able to do, but don't want to have to ever add anybody to that list.
No, exactly right. You're exactly right. I was able to meet a widow this year with 3 young boys and let her know that we had her covered for college, and she did not know that at the time, and it was both fragile and incredibly moving to be able to tell her that. We also, within our Fallen Heroes program, we are able to, when we do have a critically injured Coast Guard member or one dies in the line of duty, we're able to wrap our arms around both the family members and their crew members, and over time have realized the significance of being able to join those two parties together so that they can begin to mourn together. For instance, they might be stationed in Alaska, but they live in Atlanta. And so we provide the transportation and service cost and other things associated with that, because the families need to hear from the crew members that knew their dependent well, and vice versa. The crew members want to understand the family as well. And so, again, we don't want to have to do this ever, but we've got resources to be able to do this sort of support.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great thing that you guys are doing there. And I mean, I'm definitely familiar with the foundation. That's the first I've learned about that particular program, and that's a really, really good thing to be able to do.
Yeah, that hits you like hard, right? Yeah, that's hard hitting, Susan.
This is another one of those podcasts where it's hard to have any kind of intelligent input because it's all so big,
right?
And so like. It's kind of overwhelming. It's got to be. Do you feel like that on a kind of a daily basis when you're dealing with this kind of stuff? Like, just kind of overwhelmed by what you guys get to do, because it's really impressive.
Yeah, we are on a daily basis. We're humbled for the support we're able to give, and so grateful for those that allow the support. And I just have the opportunity to thank these folks on a regular basis, and they probably get tired of hearing me thank them, but there cannot be enough thanks for to be ready to respond to these type of terrible situations.
And, you know, Susan, I mean, just taking it back again, right? Like, of all the times you go out there, right, and you people never really think about, I think in the moment, when the alarm goes off, you're not thinking about the danger, or you're just going.
You just got to do the job.
All of a sudden, like, if things get really bad, you start thinking about other things, too. Like, it just happens. And it's really quick, and it happens, like, rapid fire, but I think you might have just given some people, at least, if nothing else, a little bit of comfort knowing that, like, hey, you know, if the worst does happen, there's there's somebody out there that cares and is going to make sure things are taken care of no matter what. So that's, yeah, man. And how impactful is that?
It really is. Like I said, it's hard not to just kind of step all over my own words right now because I'm kind of in awe of what you guys do.
Yeah. And to think of, like, you know, 23 children of, you know, right, fallen service members getting taken care of, that hits you deep.
Yeah, and I would say, Susan, I can't speak for the whole Coast Guard, but I don't think that your thank yous they probably ever get sick of, because that's not a hollow thank you. There's some real meat behind that. That's pretty legitimate, and that's amazing support you guys are giving.
Well, we're happy to be able to do it.
Yeah, I just want to say, I want to give you a hug now. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Like, yeah, like,
Phil,
thank you. Yeah,
hug.
Like, thank
I'm
you for, yeah, I don't know
video.
What's going on. Yeah, this is crazy.
Next time in Virginia.
Right.
Yeah, you blew me away, Susan. I had no idea. Yeah, I knew a little bit about the Coast Guard Foundation, but not that. Yeah. That's amazing.
And I might have missed it, actually. I don't think I did. With regards to the regular scholarships, not obviously the fallen heroes, what are the details of that one in case people have kids that are getting ready to be college age? You know, we don't need to get too far in the weeds, but just are there caps?
No. It's an annual program, and the All Coast goes out in the early spring to apply for the following scholastic calendar year. And we are happy to be able to give anywhere between $350,000 to $500,000 annually towards scholarships for dependents.
Awesome.
Okay, great.
And it's an all-coast that goes out to, you know, notify folks that they're able to apply. It's very similar to the morale support that we deliver through the Shipmate program. So there's an all-coast that usually goes out each August to the Coast Guard leadership that says, send us a list of your needs of morale, exercise, education-type items at your locations. And it can be as small as a paddleboard for a cutter, or pieces of a crew lounge for a small boat station, all the way up to a recreation center, a community center up in Sault Ste. Marie. So we've got other programs, you know, running in tandem to this more meaningful support.
Yeah, and Susan, to echo like the thank yous again, right? So I've benefited from a rec room that was procured with Coast Guard Foundation funds. And for sure, I can't tell you how good it feels to like finally come off of a boat after however many hours getting sea sprayed in the face and, you know, just a rough day. And you come in and there's this lounge chair that you can just right. lay down and lean back on. It makes it all the difference in the world. Probably the best feeling you could have is just being back on shore and sitting in that chair. So a little less impactful maybe than the rest, you know, and for all intents and purposes. But yeah, I mean, that's a huge thing, huge benefit.
I've actually been on a cutter that's gotten some wreck type gear.
And paddleboard?
We
I want to see you on a paddleboard.
It doesn't look good. I'm like a majestic giraffe on a paddleboard. But no, and it's great. I mean, all that stuff, it all adds up. Even if the one individual thing maybe doesn't seem that big, it's just anything that helps that quality of life when people are actually out doing the job, it's amazing how much help that is.
Well, we appreciate hearing that because that's exactly what we hope for. Is it's not really the item itself; it's the magnitude of the impact that gives, to each and every service member, and our salute and a pat on the back to say, you know, we've got it covered. We understand that you need more than what the budget can stretch to sustain, and we're behind you.
Awesome, Susan. I'm going to ask you two final questions, I think. One, so outside of a natural disaster, right, because, I mean, those are huge, what do you think is the most – what was the most impactful, thing that you've done with the foundation? Is there one incident that just kind of comes to mind?
There are so many.
I believe that, too. I believe that answer.
There's so many. Every time I'm in the field and I'm meeting with Coast Guard people and I'm hearing, it's exactly what you said. You've been the recipient of or have felt some of the foundation's support, and it's really, you know, it's everybody in this country that supports us giving their salute to your very important mission to this country. So it's hard for me, you know, we can go back to disaster. We can talk about the child that may not have been able to go to college without this scholarship. Or may just, you know, be one of the emerging leaders in this country because of some of the support and impact that we have. They're all important. It's really hard to isolate one. And you're right, some of it isn't as dramatic as others. But, you know, here's another example in the shipmate morale side of it that I was directly involved with was in Castle Hill. And as you all know, Station Castle Hill sits on probably one of the most expensive pieces of property in the
Yes, it does.
Right next to Newport, and it's sitting up on high with this beautiful small station. And I remember talking to the CEO there, and he said, you know, Susan, it's so expensive here that my crewmates are living in three different states, and they drive in for their service. And there really isn't any place inside to host anything over the summer to try to connect these families. And I took a look, and we walked around, and we went down to the docks, and he was absolutely right. If you had 28 folks and, you know, half of them had family members, there wasn't any place for these people to congregate to become a community of themselves. And so I went out to the surrounding areas, as you know, capacity-rich Newport, and we were able to support an outside area, including areas to barbecue and areas for the kids to play and some overhanging areas for inclement weather, and so that they could start to come together, not in a disaster situation, but just on an everyday trying to meet other spouses and other children, so those that are living in Rhode Island can connect with those that are living in Massachusetts. And I think there's just so many stories that we could be doing this all afternoon.
Yeah, no, and that's great. You know, like what a thing right there in itself. I mean, one of the biggest things that makes you a crew, I think, is getting people close, right?
Absolutely.
Like knowing each other's wives, knowing their kids and all that. I mean, there's immeasurable benefits just from that.
And I think it's important to highlight those stories too, because that there is so much benefit to it, but we don't think about it. You know, when you think of the foundation, the first thing most people think of is probably the disaster relief and stuff like that. And certainly that's incredibly important, but this other stuff, it adds up over time. It really does.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Susan, I'm amazed. Like, I'm floored over here. By
I got a big old grin on his face, just, like, ear to ear right now.
You know, like, if you're thinking about what, a lot of people say Coast Guard, smallest service, not a lot of support or whatever, and then you hear about an organization that's so targeted at the Coast Guard, like the foundation, that's unreal. How do we support it?
Well, I'll tell you something. You're active duty listening. I want to keep out of the fundraising business for obvious reasons. But I know that you and other Coast Guard members often hear from folks that say simple things like, how can we help you? And we'd love to just have you focus them on the Coast Guard Foundation. Just say, you know, thanks, that's terrific. We appreciate your wanting to help. The Coast Guard Foundation helps us in these ways. Reach out to them.
Excellent. Where do they go to look it up?
There's a couple different spots. Our website is coastguardfoundation.org, and they can call directly here in Connecticut, 860-535-0786.
Perfect. And Susan,
last but not least, for those in leadership, which I always have the opportunity when I'm speaking in front of bigger groups of Coast Guard members, there's a lot to our support, and there's a lot of nuances, a lot of areas. And if you don't remember anything else, just remember if you are in a situation of critical importance or disaster type, just pick up the phone and call us, and we'll figure out how to help.
Awesome. What a great send off. I was going to send you off right there, but I do want to ask one question. How did it start?
Oh, well, we're actually celebrating our 50th anniversary.
Hey, happy anniversary.
So 50 years ago, we had retired Coast Guard leaders who realized that the budget, the military budget, was not reaching every area of the Coast Guard life, and they created this foundation. We originally were the Coast Guard Academy Foundation, and then grew as the board of trustees grew to be able to support all enlisted members in addition to leadership.
Awesome.
Great.
Yeah, thankful for those guys 50 years ago setting the groundwork.
That kind of foresight.
Yeah, for what you've done now. Amazing. Susan, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you so much for what you do on a regular basis and for sharing the stories that you have today.
We appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time today, Susan. That was a lot of fun to hear. And just again, thank you guys for what you do. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, keep up the good work. And I promise you, if you're ever in Virginia or we're in Connecticut, there's going to be hugs all around,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, there's. I think Phil and I are going to hug after the episode's over.
Right. keep it up, Susan. Keep it up, though. Thank you so much for what you do.
Take care.
Thanks for taking the time to listen.
If you like what this podcast is about and what we delivered, look us up at theyhadtogooout.com or your favorite podcast platform and like, comment, subscribe, and share so we can keep the momentum up and do bigger things going forward.
Look for a new episode every Sunday. Until then, fair winds and following seas.